Hello, welcome to the Bitch Slap, the Accelerated Path to Peace podcast, your daily reminder that you should not take yourself so seriously, and that perhaps you don't know what's best for everybody else, let alone yourself, and that we should be having fun out there, people. Let's have fun in all that we create. Today, I've got a special interview with Anthony Trucks. It's the full 35-minute interview from the Tools for a Good Life Summit series. Anthony, if anybody missed it, just spoke. He was one of the speakers at the 2021 Funnel Hacking Live, where he blew the socks off of the stage. I was gifted with the opportunity to interview him for my Tools for a Good Life Summit just a few months before. And Anthony Trucks gets into his shift method, make shift happen. And it's he talks about the his three-phase process. Phase one, see. Phase two, shift. And phase three, sustain. And then he wraps it all up nicely at the end with a bit on service. The best part to me about this whole interview is he gives us action steps to take within each phase. So you can literally listen to this interview and begin to transform your life, to grow into the identity that you need to be to get to where you want to go. That's about the best as I can say it. Listen to Anthony Trucks. It's a super fun interview. Anthony's amazing. He's an ex-NFL player, just has done all sorts of cool, cool things. Please enjoy. Welcome back to the Tools for a Good Life Summit. Right now, I would like to introduce to you Anthony Trucks, ex-NFL player. This is a foster kid turned NFL athlete and serial entrepreneur with one serious superpower: making shift happen no matter what by assessing the power of identity. You have overcome 30 plus traumatic life events, navigating the identity shifts that followed. Anthony has come to be known as the leading expert in shifting, which is making a shift internally to elevate how you operate externally, which in turn changes your life. Your system is called the Shift Method, and you weave together neuroscience, psychology, technology, and hard-fought life lessons to help anyone with a desire for more in their life achieve any goal they want or have ever wanted. I especially like this next sentence. Before making it apparent that their goals were actually set far below their true potential in the first place. I love that. Like tapping into the potential that people don't even know that's there. It's beautiful.
Yeah, man, it's beyond, yeah. Usually yeah. It's far beyond their thoughts. We set limitations on our dreams without even knowing it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Buckle up. It's time to make shift happen. So first off, thank you so much for jumping in the fray with me. Very excited. And let's just maybe spend a few minutes. We can talk a little bit about your history and your 30 plus traumatic life events. And I just looking at your history, one thing that jumped out at me was you were 14, perhaps struggling a little bit in the foster home system. Yes. And then yeah. I read a note. You said, hey, I was a self-aware kid and I recognized your pattern and you perhaps needed to change at that point. Maybe speak to that just quickly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. When I got to the age of 14, I'd already gone through like years of crazy, we'll call it. Mm-hmm. So like I was giving away at three. So I had a lot of different dynamics woven all into the personality and identity of who I was. So it took a lot of years, but after a while you start to see yourself who you are. The problem is I think we are all self-aware, but we're aware of a self that we've crafted that's not always the most positive. So that's when we beat ourselves up and, you know, we're not that good, not that great. And I think there's a separation when you can, in a positive way, a separation when you understand who you are seeing yourself through over the filter of the world and then who you actually are.
Mm.
There is a difference. And so I think at like 14, 15, I was still developing that. It wasn't until really like 15 that I got a chance to like really see who I was. And I was like, oh, that's who you are. Because prior to that moment, I saw myself in a light that wasn't the best.
Mm. And was this a conscious, like a conscious change, or was it sort of, it just happened and looking back on it, hindsight, you're like, oh, or was it, does that question make sense? Or?
Yeah. It does make sense. It was more of a hindsight. I think it took time in the distance in the background to get it.
Yeah. You just end up falling there. You want to put the,
yeah, there's some at the front door, but I'm not going to talk to him. I don't, right. Somebody delivered the flowers to my house and it was the wrong person. So I think she's taking them, which is good. I hope she takes them to the person that deserves them, because someone said mom, yeah, and they were not my flowers, but I'm good now.
All good. I'll be able to, we'll strike that.
Yeah, we could leave it in. It would just be weird, but that's the scatterbrained brain that is my brain. And I'm the only one home. So my dogs start barking. Oh. Like I got to like, is someone at the door?
Yeah.
No, we're good though.
Okay.
That's part of my identity. I can keep rolling, man. I mean, you can keep it in. You don't have to keep it in.
Yeah, no, I love it. We'll keep rolling. I think it's
life.
What's that?
It's life, man.
That's life, especially these days.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. And then of course there was your very brief stint in the NFL, and I think the striking part there was you only got to play in one preseason game and then you had an injury, or?
Well, my third year, I got hurt in my first preseason game. So my first year, second year, I was cut the first year, cut the second year.
Mm.
Third year, I was finally looking like I was about to make the team. Mm. And then I tore my shoulder and the season was over. So that was the first preseason game. So no, I played in games. It wasn't like I just was there for a year and out of there. But it's unfortunate, man. That's a lot of buildup to that whole situation. But the NFL is an interesting beast. It's the highest level in the world. So, I mean, anytime you get to the highest level in the world for anything, I don't care if it's the highest level of the world for like, I don't know, kitten sock knitting. There's going to be crazy things that go on, you know, because you got so many people involved. It's cutthroat. It's ruthless. It's demanding at levels that are beyond human typical logic. Because the typical human, I don't think that they, you know, and it's not like saying people are better, right? But you're not typically in a race or in a competition to be the best in the world out of 7 billion people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you're not at that. So you know what you do? It's like the average human doesn't get the logic behind why would you subject yourself to so much difficulty and pain and anguish? Why would you do that? It doesn't make sense. And I'm like, it's right. It doesn't make sense that I would live a mediocre life that is one I don't want to see what I'm fully capable of. It's a back and forth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not that anybody's right or wrong. It's just what's logic. And I don't think when people use that, well, it's not logical. No, it's not logical to your brain. And that's okay. Yeah. It's not logical that you would, you know, I don't know, marry that person because they're a horrible person. You know, like it's just different things that are logic. And so I've got to the point of realizing in life, the beauty is the difference. Like what is good for me isn't good for everybody else. I'm not a good fit for everybody. And that's okay. That's completely okay. And if you can get to that point, it alleviates so much more stress and anxiety and just weirdness that happens in life.
It's so empowering. It's a very empowering.
Freeing, yeah.
Place to be, yeah, freeing. I love that. I was curious, did you have any glory moments, sort of those stadium 50,000 people?
Did I?
Moments? Oh, yeah. Man.
How many do you want to know about?
Tell me a couple. Like, tell me. I want to know.
Here's a good one. Okay. So these two are going to be Oregon ones because I had fun in Oregon. I had fun everywhere else, but Oregon was a good one. So there's one play where we're playing against Arizona State. They come to our house junior year, and I'm trying to find it. We're trying to ball, right? And what happens, it was a junior year. That's what it was. And they're at our house, and we got to beat them. Like, we're trying to, like, obviously make our way to, you know, get to another level and try to get some bowl game stuff going on. And they come to our house. And there's this one specific play to where if they line up a certain way, I blitz. And if they shift out of that, I don't blitz anymore because they have an extra person. Because if I blitz, somebody's open, right? So we'd be screwed.
Yes.
It's like third and 12 or something. And the ball is, they get up to the ball, they get lined up. I'm supposed to blitz. They move. I don't realize it. So I am supposed to cover, and in my head, I'm like, I'm going. I can see on the video my linebacker, the mic sitting next to me going, don't go. You could see his hand motion. But it's Austin Stadium. And Austin Stadium, it's one of the loudest in the country. You can't hear anything. So you got to know it. And I'm just dialed, like, I'm going to get this D in court. As my head's here. Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, you can see him in the ball's high. And I take off. Now, I don't know how this happened, but their right guard, who's the guy supposed to guard me, guard or tackle, completely misses me. Whatever it is. And the quarterback rolls out to me. And as he's rolling out, he barely gets like a step away. Yeah. I have to leave my feet. And if both my hands don't grab this man in midair and grab him like a carnival game, like we lose, I jump out. I'm in full Superman. I get one hand on his shoulder, one hand on his hip. I take him down and I celebrate, and the whole stadium just erupts.
Oh.
Turnover on downs, and we get the ball back. It was crazy. That was one of them.
Wait a minute. So that's on accident that happens.
After the play, if you look at the video, we have it after the play. I'm cheering. My linebacker guy comes up, grabs my helmet. You can see him yelling at me. You messed up, but you didn't mess up. Great job. Don't do that ever again.
You know? That's so good. Okay. Next one. Yeah.
Okay. And another one was we're playing against, so at my senior year, I'm balling against all the teams we're playing. I ended up leading my senior year, the Pac-10 at the time, in sacks, tackles for loss, forced fumbles, and fumbles recovered. I was like sixth in total tackles, but I missed a game against USC to a high ankle sprain. But I was balling that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing well. I had like three sacks against ASU, as a matter of fact, the next year at their place. So I'm feeling good about myself. And my coach, we're in a meeting one time. We're about to play Cal. Cal's coming up to Oregon. And I'm talking about how good I am. He's like, great job. He goes, hey, I don't want you to think you're the greatest. He says, you ain't the greatest until you go in there, you sack, you force a fumble, you recover the fumble, you pick it up and score a touchdown. Then you can start talking, right? So he says this and like he's serious but joking at the same time.
Of course.
So this is like early in the week. Now we come to the game. I was like the second or third quarter. I can't remember what it was. And they line me up and they give me a blitz. And I'm like, I'm going to go get this guy, right? And in my head, I'm not thinking about what he said earlier in the week. I'm just doing my thing. So I come around the bend and the running back goes to block me. Somehow he misses me completely. I sidestep him. He goes flying by. So I go up. Quarterback doesn't see me. Blindside. Sack him. Forced ball comes out, forced the fumble. Fumbles on the ground. We both go to the ground. I recover the fumble. Now it's college football, so your knee is down. So I didn't score a touchdown. The whole crowd's erupted. Everybody's crazy. I'm excited. I come to the sideline. I'm saying high five. Hey, man. I come to the coach. He looks me dead in my eyes and he goes, but you didn't score a touchdown. Don Pelham.
Ruthless. Don.
Ruthless dude. That's how he was. He was a hard-nosed dude, but
it's cold-blooded.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of weird ones like that. I got stuff in the NFL, high school. We got a whole bunch, but those are two.
That's beautiful. Ones. Yeah. And so when you hurt your shoulder and career's over, that's pretty deflating to go from those highs to those lows, obviously.
Very much so. Yeah. You go from being somebody to being nobody, at least in your head internally. Anytime a human being has put their heart into something, whether it's being a parent and a kid goes to college, leave the military, you leave sports, you lose a job, you leave a job, you sell a business when you no longer can show up in the capacity of that role anymore, you lose a sense of yourself. And so for me, it was football and I'd lost a sense of myself in that realm. And so, I definitely had a little downward spiral, we'll call it.
Yes. And then you were able to make it through a dark time. Come out the other side. Yep. Have a pivot point where, hey, I think coming through that perhaps close to suicide moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Yeah. It's a dark place to be. So you create a tool, which I'm staring at least the result of the tool. So one now you, what's that?
Yeah, it's one of them for sure. I make a whole bunch of weird stuff now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
That's a good tool you got right there. That's the slower go identity. It's a good grid right there.
Yeah, it's great. I just want to tell you that, as I said before we started recording, that you were very influential in me helping get the summit.
Nice.
Continuing, with the summit process because I took your little, you go to, anybody can do this. They can go to anthonytrucks.com and click on the What's My Identity Type button.
Easy.
Yeah, super easy. And the quiz, I was taking it like, yeah, we'll see. Honestly, I was like, yeah, what's this? And I took it and and bam, it was right on the money, my friend. And
that isn't it kind of weird?
Yeah, it's very weird. Turns out, I hate to admit it, but I will. I'm a dabbler. And so it helped me. One thing you have on the dabbler is to find little successes to help propel you forward and to have a contingency plan for when you go into that dark spot, that shiny object.
Yeah. Because dabblers are people who chase opportunity, but they shut down in opposition sometimes.
Yes.
So in order to push forward to be a doer, all you have to do is spend time doing more, which means you have to tackle the oppositions.
Yeah. Perfect. Love it. So that moment helped me progress forward with my summit because it's lots of inviting and potentials for rejection and stretching, yeah. Right? So thank you for that, Anthony.
Very welcome, beautiful. Man. Yeah. What's four? Well, I made it four, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I was beautiful. So I'm going to get to the point here. So you're going to answer a question for me. I'm going to set up a scenario and why we're all here. So here's the scenario. We've got somebody, and it sounds like you have been through it multiple times in your life. So you are going to be familiar with this. So we've got, let's look at life, the three-legged stool, relationships, finance, and health. Mm-hmm. And then, now someone who is successful or once successful, right? And you have two legs of those stool come out from under you. Mm-hmm. That can be a very dark place, right? And you were there. And so for me, I had that, right? I had success in my 20-year sales career. All of a sudden, career upheaval. I went through a divorce out of nowhere, financial distress. And both my parents died in rapid succession, like within 2 weeks of each other. And it was a very dark time. And the thing was that to pull myself up from my bootstraps attitude that, work your way through it, wasn't working. Like I needed more, I needed extra. I needed a little nudge. I needed something like this, right? So my question to you is, thinking of your tool, your modality, all your bag of tricks.
Yeah.
What are the exact next steps you would offer a person like me that was in that scenario?
Yeah.
So that I know that I'm headed in the new right direction, that I'll have positive momentum towards getting my life back on track.
Yeah. So one thing is good about this is it's not a guessing game. I think some people, they will navigate this by guessing little pieces that could be beneficial. And for me, it's like, I look at the whole revamp. So you'd mentioned and alluded to earlier, like I've had 30 plus randomly weird like situations that have literally, I could say each one of them has knocked other people off track for an entire lifetime.
Yes.
It's very odd. Like it's very odd. And I didn't even think of it and notice it until I was like in my early 30s, to be quite honest. I was like, somebody else brought it to the forefront. I was like, yeah, I did oddly have a way of doing this. And so I'll tell you what I've done every time that doesn't happen to me. Right.
Fantastic.
So I did it accidentally at first and now I do it proactively. I think we do have that unfortunate life. We do proactively, choose to eat healthy sometimes, but most of the time we react to life. We're not responding in a chosen manner. So what I've done is I've gone back and said, in those moments, I needed to look at who I was, not so much what I knew or what I had access to. And in my life now, I'm always like, I got a problem. Who is Anthony right now? My wife and I are arguing. Who am I? I'm not the best father. Who am I? I'm not working out the way I'd like to. Who am I? And there's a reason why I say, who am I? Not what do I got to do? Because if you were the person to do those things, you wouldn't even question what you have to do. You just do that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just the simple nature of it. Like if I'm the person who just, if it's who I am to work out every day, I'm going to work out every day. I'm not going to worry about that. If it's who I am to be the most amazing, loving, caring, paying attention husband, like that's who I'll be every day. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when someone's in that space, typically we say, what's wrong? What do I got to fix? What do I got to do? And I'm more like, who do you got to be? Because if you don't realize that there's a certain like core person of you running all this, then you're going to keep repeating the same situation. You'll keep landing in the same place. And this is why a lot of my work's in identity. It's all in that realm of like, who are you? So what I first have people do is you have to have them see. And the C phase, it's a three-step phase called the shift method. The first stage is the C phase. And the C phase is where you get to go in and take a look at what is really going on. And it usually isn't fun to see. It's like the it's the stuff where you get exposed to the true aspect of your humanity and you go, ugh, yeah, I don't like that part of me. But for the first time in your life, maybe you actually accept it and go, I got to work on that. Because not everybody does.
Oh, absolutely. It can be hard. Can I ask you a question in that regard?
Please.
So is there like, give my audience an actionable step in that regard.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Here we go. So this is dead serious. Is we have something we call triad talks. And it's a certain series of questions in a certain order and a specific way we do it. But I'll give you the overarching. What you do is you go and select a group of questions that essentially would get to the root of you. That you don't even, that you'd be scared to hear the answer to. We'll call it that. Get to the root of the questions. And then what you do is you go find people who you know and that you like and that you know they're positive humans and you ask them, hey, can you answer these questions for me about me? Right. And this is something where there's a way you go through it to where you do certain things to where you're not actually, you know, we'll call it cannibalizing your ability to get great answers. But what you'll do is you'll get feedback. If you do it the right way, you'll get feedback from people that is really hard to swallow.
And usable. So let's just, I want to tackle that. So we've got step one of the C phase. Step one is the C phase and a tool within that is a triad talk. And so fantastic. So give me an example of one, two or three questions. So
easy. So I guess, well, one question I asked them is if you were to get rid of a part of me, like we're like, okay, like you'll get remove a certain part of how I do things, what would it be and why? Right. Exactly. If you were to rate my, if you could do this, actually rating is usually fun. If you were to rate and it'll give me a number based on, from 0 to 10 on how good of a friend I am or how good of a blank I am, there's a good question there. What is the most frustrating thing about me that you feel like you have to endure and I'll never change? Like little stuff like this. And you ask the questions, but you have to be prepared for the answers. You have to actually absorb those answers a certain way. And if you do it right, it will break your heart. You'll feel like you want to retort and you can't, but you'll get gold. You'll start to see yourself. And that's, I think, one of the biggest gifts is to see through the veil of really what's going on that other people can see, but I'm just blind to it. Like there's a statement that I love is you can't see the label when you're inside the jar. And a lot of us are in that jar and we don't even know what's going on. We're operating. And it's like, how come no one's coming around? Because it says poison on the outside, dude. Like, have you seen yourself?
you gotta figure
that out.
Oh my gosh. So, that is amazing.
That's one of the first pieces, man, is getting to a level of actually, that's the tactical thing of what in the world do I got to work on? And then the second thing that we do is we go through the shift phase, which really is where the action is taken. We are shifting internally and making shifts actionably externally because of those internal ones. And what it allows us to do is take a look at our life and then you actually change your life because shifts make the change, right? If I want to change the destination of a plane, I am shifting the trajectory. Right. I'm not, I wouldn't call it like, I'm going to change the trajectory. Like you kind of shift it. Like I'm going to go a little bit one degree this way and I'll change the destination. Right. That's what we're doing. We're trying to change the destination of your life. It's just a shift. It's just crazy.
You know, what's so good about that. And so hopeful about that is we don't necessarily need to do a hundred. We don't need to move the ship completely. No. Right. It's like, hey, let's take those next little incremental things to get us going in that right direction. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, if you go like, literally, I Googled this. If you were to choose to go from San Francisco to the, let's say, Orlando airport, if you, on the way there, made a 1 degree shift in trajectory from the get-go, you would land 40 miles south in Lakeland, Florida.
Wow.
1 degree. Isn't that crazy?
It's one degree.
And that's the difference. So people like, you don't got to go and overhaul your entire life, man. Just... because the plane's always in the air. It's always going somewhere. Just adjust the trajectory. It's a shift and you're good.
I love it. So let me ask, how about an actionable step in the action step phase? So you've gone out and you gave me a few questions. So give me like an action step to help make
change. Everybody can do this. All you got to do is ask yourself, what's that one thing that's been lingering? And I'm going to tell you why this is important. Let's preface it with this. If something didn't scare you, it wouldn't be important to you. Okay. There are things that scare you that wouldn't scare me because they're important to you, and vice versa. There's things that I would be deathly afraid to do it. You wouldn't even care. Like surfing, I'm going to get eaten by a shark. I'm not going to do that. But you're like, no, bro, this is easy. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there's the differences. It's because what's important to you. Now, here's the thing. If that thing is lingering didn't scare you, it would already be done by now.
Mm.
It just would. If I'm like, hey, I want a hamburger and a milkshake, and I'm not going to feel guilty, I'm going to the store right now. I'm going to get it now. It's going to be done. I'm not afraid of it. I'm looking forward to it. Yes. So a lot of these ideas, things that linger for a lot of folks, they're like, oh, I'm good. I just got to get. No, you're afraid of it, and that's okay.
You're afraid of it. Yeah.
Right. So the first action you take is in the direction of the fear, and if you don't know how to do that, you take the fear and you find ways to open it up until you find the smallest pieces of it, and then start attacking the small pieces. Mm. Right. It's what is that? Earth invaders?
When you hit space invaders.
It turns into little ones and little ones.
Yeah.
You got to make it the small ones. That's obviously the wrong game to do that. But like,
yeah,
when you can make things small, 15 minutes, it's much easier to overcome the fear for that 15 minutes than it is like to perceive, I got to do this for the next week. Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to do that next week and then next week and then next month. And then, you know, so chunk it down to the smallest minute steps and then attack it that way. But it's usually got to be in the direction of something that scares you or it's been lingering too long.
Any real life example you've seen recently or you see?
Yeah, you want to launch a podcast. Oh. You want to launch a summit, right? Yeah. Summit or podcast, right? And I'm not saying you're afraid of it at all, but I'm just saying like this is what some people is probably afraid of doing it. Yeah, he's maybe a little bit afraid, right?
Yeah, maybe.
So you didn't just one day go, all right, I'm going to do everything today. You're like, all right, well, I'm going to send an email first. Small step.
Yeah.
Write the email, send it out. You want to do? Okay, great. Okay, God. Okay, now I gotta buy some equipment. I gotta figure out what the email thing look like. I gotta say, okay, how do I time this? How am I gonna deliver it? How are people gonna opt in? When they opt in, what are they gonna get? How do I set a checkout page? How am I gonna get them to pay for this? Do I do PayPal? This is all the stuff that goes into it. It's minute little steps. But you didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm gonna figure it out today. You looked at little by little by little and chunked it apart to where now it's real. It's live and it's coming to fruition.
Love that. Yes. Thank you. Perfect. So then, we've got the C phase, the action phase, or the stuff. What did you
shift?
The shift phase.
Yes. And the last stage is sustain.
Sustain.
The sustain phase. C shift sustain.
C shift. I couldn't read my own writing. C
Neither.
Shift. Sustain. Sustain. So tell me about
sustain. Sustain phase is the one where. So we as people unfortunately get to the point of like we have success and then we stop doing what it took to get there because it wasn't who we were. We just were pushing or we got lazy. We're like, I'll have this and maintain it. It'll be there. But we don't realize that you've got to sustain the amount of effort to sustain the level of success.
Mm.
And if you want to have more success, you have to sustain the drive to continue to keep achieving more. So what happens is some people will like I had my gym business. I would focus on let me get past this hump. I got to make some money. And I would do all these things to get to the point that I'd make that money to pay the bills and go, oh, I can relax now. And then 3 months later, I'm in the exact same place. I got to fight real hard because every time I would get to the top and I would stop doing what it took to get to the top. I mean, imagine if I just kept doing that stuff, the amount of momentum. So people don't have sustainability in life. And it's not because they don't know how or of the skill sets. They just stop when they feel like they don't need to have that kind of effort and push because they're not looking at shifting into being that person. And there's reasons that this happens, right? I think sometimes we lose sight of why we're doing things. It's not anchored consciously as to why I'm moving every day. I'm just getting up and doing it because it's what my job is now.
Yep.
And then also, I think sometimes we float around the wrong people. I think the hive, the environment's difficult because there's a statement of you are the average of the five people you surround yourself with.
Mm.
And I think it's halfway right. I think you're the average of the expectations of the five people you surround yourself with. If you think about it, if I want to say I have $1 million and I want to make $2 million, well, there's people I can hang out with that maybe have $1 million. But what if there's a person that makes $500,000, but they want to make two and $1 million people are content?
Yeah.
Well, the expectation of the $500,000 person, they're like, look, I'm not shooting for one, I'm shooting for two.
Yes.
Well, I'm shooting for two also. Let's figure it out. Whereas the $1 million people are like, oh, we got $1 million. We're cool.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with them. But for what I want, I need to be around the expectations of what it takes to get there. Because that $500,000 person is not going to let me sit like idle at 1.2 or 1.3. They're going to be like, no, you keep pushing. You got to get to two, right?
Yes.
Whereas the $1 million people, they're like, but you're good. Slow down. What are you doing? Are you crazy? Right.
Yeah.
So I think when you get into the sustain phase, if I'm going to sustain my trajectory, I must consistently have a hive of people who have expectations at a level that are at or above where I want to have them myself.
Mm-hmm. I like the expectation piece in there because I like that added bit because the perception is if I hang out with the millionaire, bam, that is going to help me elevate. Not that that's the be all end all, but as an example,
you'll get there. You can, but then you can't get past there. It's hard to get past there. Not you can, but it's hard to get past there because you'll get to the point of like, think about what if I just logically, like I got a million. All right, cool. I'm going to hang out, put my feet up. I'm going golfing with Bob.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, bro, I want to make a $2 million business. I can't go golfing and do that. I got to go keep working. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's just things you got to look at. And so it's an expectation piece. And then if you don't sustain it, man, you'll lose it. You just lose the things that need to be in place. And so, and then I think at a certain level for me, the sustain phase is like, I got to find out why I got to keep growing. And what I found is anybody that's had a nominal level of success, there's a certain heart for the majority, in my opinion, to give back. They thrive. They want to do well. And I found that there's this thing called marginal utility.
Okay.
And if I have 10 hamburgers, well, if I eat one like that, because I'm starving, right? That first one was delicious. Now, the second one, it's still pretty good. Third one, like, I don't know. Fourth one, I can't do it. I got seven more hamburgers. What am I doing right now? I want to feel good, though. What do? I can't keep eating hamburgers. Well, if I want to feel good, what if I give them to somebody else who's starving?
Yeah.
Different kind of good, but I feel good. So I give him the hamburgers. He does the same thing. He eats three. And he's like, all right, I got four more. He, you know, keeps on passing it along. Well, the idea is like, if you do that, you'll notice like, wow, I really like how it feels to give back and to serve. Who do I have to be able to do that at a higher level? And guess what it does? Puts you right back to seeing who you are and who that next person is that can do that. It's a cycle.
I think that's such a great space to work from as well. It's initially where perhaps when we're younger or what have you, it's that financial build the family, find that success that pulls us forward. And then it can be such a great place to work from to shift to that. All right. How can I be of service on a broader scale? So it's a great thought. As far as sustaining. So what are two or three habits that you have to help propel you on a daily basis, or perhaps to find that service piece? Yeah, go.
Yeah, yeah. So here's one thing is I fall in love with the day, not the destination. I think sometimes we spend way too much time looking at it. Am I there yet? Am I there yet? Like the 5-year-old in the car. But I love the days, and I have a certain amount of space and time in my day that I operate, and I love it. I love to be in motion. I think all humans, we love the motion. You know, there's magic in the motion. There's something to, like, I can sit here with all this stuff off in my office and hang out, but there's more joy talking to you, you know?
Yeah.
Just like you, I'm sure before, you could be in your house and be content, but when we get on like this, there's a different kind of joy we get to hang out in. There's no anxiety, really, there's no stress, we're just chatting, two guys talking. This is the motion of the magic, right?
Yeah.
And so what I look at is I need to be always in a position where I'm doing things that are keeping me moving, but the right things, right? So when you say, I don't, you know, keep that consistent, like I have a certain block of my day. I love being in the groove of working, but I make sure the things inside that groove are the ones that still scare me, are the ones that move the needle, the ones that are useful to what I'm doing. And like habitually, I just commit to falling in love with the day. And if I do that enough, and if I have things that I enjoy, eventually, because of the right things, I end up at a destination. And then I'm like, cool, I want to get back to climbing the mountain. You know, like you spend way less time at the peak than you do on the journey. I want to enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
So that's a big piece of it. And then if I'm hiking a mountain, I don't want to be with the person who won't shut up. That's annoying. You know, like I want to be with people who are like cheering me on, who could have similar conversations. Cause think about whenever you're out for a hike, time flies by with great conversation.
It does.
It melts away. If I'm going to be on this hike and I'm going to enjoy the journey, I want to have people that I can enjoy it with. And then when I get to the peak, I get to celebrate. They're taking a picture of me. I'm taking a picture of them. We get some lady I don't know to take a picture of us. You know, it's like these, it's this cool experience because you have the people and you are loving every step of the journey, quite literally.
Yeah, that's great. Do you calendar your sustainability, those activities? Oh,
I have a very ridiculous dialed in calendar for how my life is. It's right here. It's like my life is rolling. But here's the beauty of it. I have the method I use that I teach people, like it boils down to execution, right? I think that's the one thing. Some people give a lot of insight, information, theory, and they leave it on you to figure out how to make it real in your life. Mm-hmm. Whereas for me, like we teach, we talk, we boil things down to very specific actions. And even then I don't leave you hanging. Then I'm like, all right, great. We're going to put them into your life now. We're going to make sure, like I just had a client to call today. We broke down her entire morning routine down to the exact hour and a half she'll do it. Mm-hmm. I think an hour and a half is kind of long, but for her, it fits.
Yeah.
But the idea is like, I'm not just saying, go make a morning routine. And she's like, all right. And then walks away. We work through all of it, every piece. So there's an understanding for it and the timing behind it. And then it's like, all right, now we take the action on it. And it's that action that creates the difference, that creates the change. And so when I'm doing these things, I'm not just theory, man. I'm like, I want you to finally have these things real in your life. Because when they are, that's when the true like confidence comes in, the transformation comes in. It's not in the planning. We as humans feel better there. I think people fall in love with the safe work. They want to start a business. Okay, start a business. What are you going to do? Okay, I'm going to get my business cards done. I'm going to make a landing page. I'm going to think of a name. I'm going to, file the doc. That's not the stuff that you need to do to make the business. No. It sounds like it is. It's the safe work though. You could do it in your house at night, making a little website. It looks pretty, but the scary thing that actually makes it a real business, not you in the background having a hobby, getting bored, is when you can go, okay, pay me for this. Mm-hmm. This is what it's going to cost you to actually get this improvement in your life. It's a business, and that's a scary work. Now, the safe work and the fun work, that has a place, but that's not what does it, man. And that's the thing is people are afraid of doing the scary work, and they don't understand the sacrifice that it takes sometimes.
Yeah, it sounds like you are not only gifted at doing that scary work yourself, but you've systemized a way to to pass it on to other people.
Have to. If I don't, then I'm just talking. If I was to sit here and give people all this information and not give them some way to apply it, I have done a massive disservice. I think we have a lot of people in this space that are doing a disservice because all they do is talk, which means all you do is point the problem out and you inspire and motivate, but then you don't tell them what to do. Like it's kind of like people leave events and I'm excited. I'm going to do this, and they're all gripping the steering wheel. They go to bed and one day they wake up like, where'd it go?
Yeah.
What do I do now? I don't feel completely inspired. I forgot how I was supposed to feel. What's the next step? And then it turns into this, I think an immediate switch. It turns into like, sadness.
Yeah.
A lack of self-esteem. Cause I'm like, man, I didn't even do anything. I suck.
Yeah.
And now it's like even worse.
Yeah. It's like that emotional roller coaster, right? I can't get that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'll inspire you, but I'm going to be very clear. Like the real motivation comes from, can you get up in the morning and do something? And it's like, that will come from, did you do it? Did you take an action? Because the moment I can give someone a guiding point and then they go execute on it, they feel amazing. It's palpable. You can't take it from them. Yeah. That person's the one that's going to get up every day because they're looking forward to that feeling. It's not how I yelled at them or what video that I made that was super cool with great drone shots. Like that's all right. Yeah. But the thing is did you do something with your life that I guided you to do yourself? So you created the pride that you get to keep.
Mm. Anthony, that's beautiful. I think that is a great place to end this section. Don't forget, we're going to do another interview, but I just want to say quick that to everybody watching and listening to Anthony and I, if this was fantastic and you want to get more of what Anthony has to offer and see more, upgrade to the All Access Pass for the bonus interview, because Anthony and I are going to go even deeper. And I have a few more amazing questions and I'm going to let you pick what we want to talk about. So before we end this section, is there anything that you think we missed or you wanted to say before we stop this bit?
I don't know. I believe those who are wanting to be better will go join. There's always this thing that years ago someone explained to me was like, if you want to make an investment, you can go and try to invest in a company, right? Yeah. But the best investment's always in yourself. And yeah. those who pay attention, because it's worth more. And if it's worth more, you'll do more with it. So those who are like, I really want to commit to doing something great, like, yeah, go ahead and take that next step, because we're gonna get in here in a second. And that's those are the people that can raise their hand. And we look back years ago and go, that person's successful. Why? It's not by accident. They took those next steps.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that, Anthony. And then again, a quick reminder to everybody, you can go to anthonytrucks.com. Click on the What's My Identity? Take this test. It is awesome. It helped me. And then you can also book a call. There's a link to book a call with you. So I would encourage anybody, if they don't upgrade and see the next section, to at least click on anthonytrucks.com and take the identity type quiz.
Thank you for spending time with me today. As someone who is committed to growth and service to this world, I so appreciate your willingness to come with me, go within, and serve our world through change. If you found value in this podcast and you know someone who can use this message, share this episode with them. Share it so our mission can be achieved one episode at a time. And of course, subscribe so you can hear more. And lastly, for more resources on what has helped me on my journey and can help you on yours, go to belove.media/resources. That's belove.media/resources. Thank you again for listening.